You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you? Yes, we do have a treat for you today. I am Charlotte Sister C. Farrell. This is the Sugua Show, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. In today's show, we're going to be exploring three key themes that are woven into the fabric of Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving is Monday, but we are giving it to you as a treat to enjoy ahead of time. But before going forward, it is important to acknowledge the land in which we gather, wherever you may be listening. And our land acknowledgement is going to be led by our own Public Affairs Director, Jesse Winsloff.
Thanks, Charlotte. Before we get going, I want to recognize that we here at CJSF broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking people, and that Canadian history is rooted in the land, culture, and resources of Indigenous peoples, including the Halkomelem and Musqueam, here in British Columbia, who have stewarded these territories for generations. And over centuries, much has been taken from them: land, language, traditions, and natural resources. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, a holiday tied to harvest and abundance, we must also reflect on the losses endured by Indigenous communities as a result of colonialism and colonization. Today, we commit ourselves to the ongoing process of reconciliation, working together to restore what has been lost and to honor the rights and contributions of Indigenous peoples.
Okay, thank you. As we do that on this day, we're like the appetizer before the day on Monday. On this day, we are looking at gratitude and reflection and remembering that our celebration should include a dedication to justice, fairness, and restoration. We're going to be exploring these three themes, and it's going to be woven in, connected together by music and some of our commentary. The three themes are reconciliation, our journey toward healing and acknowledging the past, variations in Thanksgiving celebrations. We're going to think about some of the diverse ways that we have together made this day. And then we're going to end with gratitude, because regardless of your particular faith beliefs, holiday beliefs, this is a time to be in gratitude when so much devastation is happening around the world. So that's where we'll be ending. But let's start with our first theme, reconciliation. You know, Jesse, Thanksgiving is often associated with abundance and gratitude. But for many, it can also be a time of mixed emotions, especially when we reflect on our shared history with Indigenous peoples. As we gather with our family, our friends, neighbors today, don't you think it's kind of essential to acknowledge the complex layers of this holiday?
Yeah, definitely. It's hard. It feels hard to do any sort of Thanksgiving gathering or event or programming without acknowledging the complex history of both the holiday and the history of colonization of this continent and other places in the world.
And this segment reflects on reconciliation and the journey of healing for Indigenous people. And we've got some music choices that we think you'll enjoy. If you haven't heard them before, then it will be something that you might play for your family, listen to when you're resting, and just be pensive, because we have to be intentional about our thoughts. A lot of times we will even say the words, "How are you?" Person says, "I'm fine." Or someone will recognize someone who's come to a theater and has said, or accepting the special seat or something that they have. But the person doing it doesn't think. Sometimes we have to really think about how we look, what we're saying, and music sometimes is a good way. I think music is a good way sometimes to hear something without arguing with it, but it just gets into your deeper layer. So we're going to start with this first song.
Our first song today is by Tanya Tagak, an Inuk throat singer from Nunavut, whose powerful voice brings traditional Inuit sounds into a modern haunting context. Longtime favorite of mine. I've been following Tanya Tagak for years now and love the way that she sort of melds the traditional and contemporary musical traditions that she's a part of. Her song, Teeth Agape, which we're going to hear, expresses themes of displacement and identity, making it a fitting tribute to the resilience of Indigenous peoples. So without further ado, here's Teeth Agape by Tanya Tagak.
Teeth welcome your windpipe. Oh. Touch my children, and my teeth welcome your windpipe. Utter the name and be crushed by leg, grown strong from holding up weight. By thigh that carries. An urgent gait. I will hunch my shoulders and wait. Claws sharpened, teeth agape.
Is Tanya Tagak with Teeth Agape, reminding us of the beauty and strength of Indigenous traditions, even in the face of loss. Here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, a special Thanksgiving episode where we're in this first segment reflecting on the relationship, the complex relationship between reconciliation and Thanksgiving.
Now, as you know, I love writing poems about trees. And the next we're going to hear is the oldest tree in the world.
That's right, by Leanne Betasamasake Simpson.
Her song, The Oldest Tree in the World, reflects on deep-rooted connections to the earth, fitting for our theme of reconciliation and Indigenous land stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
breathe it out. You breathe it in. I like you because you hold this all together with the parts I can't see.
Samasake Simpson always reminds us of the wisdom found in nature and history. That was the oldest tree in the world, a poignant reminder of the ties between indigenous peoples and the land, here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, as we ourselves reflect on Thanksgiving and reconciliation. Our final track for this segment is by Jeremy Dutcher, who just won the Polaris Prize for his latest album. He's a classically trained Wolastoyuk singer and composer. His song Sakama blends operatic style with traditional indigenous music, an intersection of old and new, much like the journey of reconciliation. And much like the first artist we heard, Tanya Tagak, a really interesting blending of sort of two different worlds of traditional performance as well as sort of classical operatic work. So again, this is Sakama by Jeremy Dutcher.
14 brise, 14 broken. 15.
Kwa
Was Jeremy Dutcher with Sakoma, a fusion of indigenous and classical music styles. His work speaks to the importance of preserving culture while embracing modernity. Thanks to Jeremy for sharing that powerful message. As we reflect on reconciliation this Thanksgiving, let's remember that it's not just about looking back. It's about the actions we take moving forward to ensure that all communities can celebrate this land and its resources with respect and harmony.
And, you know, another thing, sometimes when people play indigenous music, they just play drums. And so people have no idea of the range of instruments and intonations that we've heard. So share those with your friends. You have from Friday to Monday to indulge in listening yourself, and then you'll surprise a few people who just don't know this beautiful range of indigenous music. Up next, we're going to take a look at how different communities across Canada celebrate Thanksgiving in their own unique ways. Again, this is Saluau, the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, where our guest and I speak up so you can listen up and share, act upon what you've heard. Now, Thanksgiving may have common themes of family, food, and reflection, but across Canada, across North America, this holiday is celebrated in beautifully diverse ways, whether it's traditionally the traditional turkey and mashed potatoes, or in my family's case, turkey and sweet potatoes, or regional specialties like lobster dinners in the Maritimes, or wild game feast in the prairies. Each part of the country has its own way of giving thanks. Jesse, what are some things that your family do that are traditional or memorable?
We're pretty standard, stereotypical Canadian Thanksgiving. I think, you know, a turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and probably a green vegetable in there somewhere. I myself am vegetarian, so it's been a while since I had a turkey. So usually it's like a tofurkey or whatever alongside all the sides. And we just sort of take the day to hang out and spend time together. We don't have too much in terms of specific traditions, but it's just a chance to get together and be grateful for each other.
Now, I being dually Black American, Black Canadian, Blackfoot Tribe, Indigenous. What we do is some of the customary dishes that I passed down from the way my grandmother did it or the way our aunts did it. And we have this Thanksgiving, and then in November, we do it again. So a few things that we do differently with the Canadian Thanksgiving is sometimes we will have smoked sausage, and we're doing it healthier. So we'll boil it, simmer it, so it gets the salt out, minimizes the fat. And then I have the job of making cornbread. I make cornbread first as our base. My daughter is chopping up a million different vegetables to go in, and my grandson has the job of restocking the vegetables, as well as he's making sauces. He's making different sauces to go with he likes macaroni and cheese or different macaroni dishes. So it's a little bit different. And sometimes we have guests and people will bring things, African dishes, East Indian dishes. So it's really a smorgasbord when we celebrate. I think it's an important, I've seen a lot of people have children in the grocery store. I saw somebody had a lotus root and it has all those holes. And this little kid said, they need a note of here of what you're supposed to do with this thing with all the holes in it. And I thought, well, that's cute, because it is important for people to keep teaching kids how to eat real food, because you could go to have somebody dash you in something that's chips or a lot of the ghastly stuff that they advertise during the football games that are sometimes on during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think food is, I mean, it's great to be teaching kids about food and the healthy ways to eat and prepare their food, but it's also a great bonding experience to talk about food with your kids, to talk about, to teach them how to make food, to be a part of an activity. I was just in Ontario visiting my sister and her new daughter, my niece, and my partner Katie and I ended up at a restaurant one night, and the table next to us was parents with their two young sons, and the conversations they were having just showed a real, they were so engaged in the food, and the kids were asking, like, oh, well, like, what's the difference between this dish and this dish, and how would you prepare this, and how would you like, what would this look like at the grocery store? And so it was really interesting to see that sort of real hands-on direct connection with the food and how much they were bonding over it and using that as sort of like a frame for their relationship.
And I think I've heard some conversations, I live across from a school, but I about real food and some of the traditional foods, because a lot of the different varieties of squash that indigenous people, African people from a number of places use a whole range of squashes, where people look at squashes here and they are decorating them for Halloween.
Yeah, ornamental gourds or whatever.
Right. But there's so much nutrition in it. So I think these conversations around the table are conversations when people are doing homework about how the dark green and deep yellow vegetables are high in vitamin B and high in vitamin C, and rather than these awful, gummy, chewy, whatever you call those things that people chew instead of eating the food that has the vitamin, even having vitamin pill. Kids have overdosed on some of those things where, you know, it shows happy children chewing gummies, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much more nutrition in the vegetables that you get. And, you know, going to recently to a birthday celebration, there were at least 8 different ways that people had vegetables, green vegetables, and they were excited about it. So the people who say, oh, that's passé, or nobody wants to know anything about nutrition anymore, I defy that. I'm sure if we could go in with a camera into 10 people's homes, you can invite us. We'll see a lot of supplementation of the idea of eating real tomatoes rather than the new tomato. Yes, tomato, potato chips. Okay, so I'll move away from that to get back to harvest music. Neil Young has Harvest Moon. We're kicking off this, or adding to this discussion about food with his song, Harvest Moon. And whatever images, as you listen to it, sometimes if you just listen, you can see, it brings scenes to mind of what was in the artist's mind when he was making something that they wanted to share. So here is Harvest Moon.
Because I'm still in love.